Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey guys, welcome back to Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hey guys.
And we are, it's exciting, we're actually sitting on the same couch right now.
We're together.
And last time we talked about post-party.
It's not a party.
It's totally not a party.
It's not a party.
Okay, postpartum body image, hopefully thinking of that in light of biblical truth. And today we are going to tackle kind of gospel instruction for our children. And I know that this was something I didn't really start to think about that much until I got a little bit closer to the toddler age.
Definitely.
But certainly it is an important topic, and it's something that feels just really overwhelming and scary to jump into, as if we already don't know enough about like breastfeeding and, you know, nap routines and all those things. And then you get this huge thing of, oh, and you need to pass on your entire faith to your child. What does that look like?
Your values and your belief system. And
yeah, so definitely it's intimidating.
It is. I think like there was this definite transition point when my son turned, I don't know, maybe 18 months, 12 months, somewhere in there, where it was like, I can read all the books. It's very practical. It's very tangible. It's easy to know how to get him the right food or choose the right formula. It's kind of scientific in a way and easy. And then it's not easy, but I think you'll know what I mean. But then you get to like raising their heart and, you know, they're going to eat what food they're going to eat, and they're going to, you don't have quite as much power over some of those things, but it definitely changes. And that is really daunting, especially as a first time mom, but I'm sure it'll be that way, you know, our whole lives.
And I know that I was already thinking ahead and was overestimating what my toddler can do. Cause you know, your oldest child, you think like your expectations are so high for them. And I was looking to moms who had maybe 5-year-olds or 10-year-olds and looking at what
30-year-olds.
Yeah, looking at what they were doing with their kids and thinking, okay, I need to be doing that type of stuff with my toddler. And what I found was that those things didn't work. And then I just kind of would quit, you know, because they can't sit down and listen to a 15-minute story.
Totally.
Yet, and they can't, you know, do question answer and like really comprehend. So it's kind of a different ball game when you first get started.
Well, and two, I think I remember when I started, just began disciplining, I remember feeling super nervous about it. And it was hard enough at home, like within the privacy of our own house, where like no one could hear me except my toddler, who didn't really know if I messed up, but I would stumble over words. I was like, Jesus, don't do that. Bible, you know, like just kind of like dropping in my words. And I know that there was a way, and I had seen other people do it, but in the heat of the moment, it's really hard to gather your thoughts and to be able to say something that, again, is age appropriate and also impactful for the future.
Sure.
And like you said, you imagine you're reading these books and these people have done this for years, or they've had multiple children to practice on, or it's a lot easier to write or to say casually than it is in the moment, or say when you're in public. I know in public is always like, I'm like, you know, like it's just, it's really scary. So there's a lot of, it's a hard thing.
I definitely think. And I think, the first time I remember starting to try to do formal like instruction in faith with my oldest, I actually went online and found these Bible lessons and I printed off. And they were probably, you know, 15, 20 minute lessons.
Wow.
Like a craft. They had a song. And so I did it like one time. And then I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I mean, I think he liked it, but it was unsustainable.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, those are the types of things that can keep us from doing anything.
Yes.
I know I'm an idealist and I get this awesome vision in my mind of what I want something to be. And then when it doesn't live up to that, I tend to do nothing. And so I think there's kind of an element of just do something.
Yes.
Just get started. Just go somewhere.
Yes. And totally, like, even though it is super scary and it's really difficult, like, you know, biblically we have instruction and a charge as parents or mothers to raise our children up and to, you know, write these things on their hearts to you know, teach them about the Lord. Like, we are the number one people that will have an impact on our children for eternity. And so that responsibility falls to us, and particularly often with the mom, as she spends often the majority amount of time home with the kids.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, like you said, there's definitely room for both. But as a mom, there is definitely that nurturing element. And I know, even looking at the things we're supposed to teach them, you know, passing along the gospel message to them, helping them to see their sin and the way that they break the law and that they need Jesus.
Yep.
Helping them see the difference between wisdom and foolishness, which is sometimes a little bit different than sin. And then we're also giving them like moral instruction of just like, hey, in our culture, these are some things that
social
you need
norms.
To do in order to, you know, fit in and like have at least get to know somebody. You're going to have to be able to do these basic manners.
Brush your hair.
No one is ever going to talk to you. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So there is that charge. And so, scary as it is, we want to talk a little bit today about kind of ways that we weave the gospel in. And again, Emily and I know we've said this probably every episode, but we want to be very upfront to say that we are, again, learning. We're growing in this. This isn't like, oh, we do this all the time and it comes out so perfectly. Like, hear us when we say, like, we stumble over our words all the time. And half the time, like, I'm really grateful to a two-year-old listening to me because it's like, that would make no sense to an adult.
Yeah.
But so what we're trying, and that's the thing, is that you get better with practice. And that's the thing to remember, is that you're going to start out and it feels sort of uncomfortable.
Feels awkward.
Awkward, yes. And I can attest that as someone who now has a 2.5-year-old, it has gotten easier.
Yes,
as I've studied it and practiced it and just forced myself to bulldoze through those feelings.
Yeah.
It's flowing easier. There are easier things to say. But again, we're not perfect at this.
Yeah. And it's helped to be in community for me.
Seeing other moms.
Listen to other moms and how they do it. I know Laura's cousin, and I go to church, there's a connection, and she is like so natural and like will bring in really good biblical scriptures. And when I hear her talk, sometimes I will actually go back home and write down what she said and think, that was so good. I want to remember to say that to my child. So be listening to when you are around other moms that you think are doing it well.
Yeah.
Hear the words that they're saying and definitely take those to heart, because I think there's a couple different types of gospel instruction we're going to talk about. So,
Formal and informal.
Yeah, I'm like, formal.
I feel like a teacher today, but formal and informal.
Yep. Informal would be like kind of what you sit down and teach them in the way of, let's say, like Bible verses and catechisms, doctrines, things that you're, it's like almost like a
class.
A class.
Intentional teaching. I would say very intentional, set aside time for investing in the gospel with your kids.
Perfect. And then the informal is more just the things that we do every day. Like, our life is an example to our children. How we're loving them, and are we modeling Christ and the character of God? What we're saying to them in the car while we're driving, and, you know, the way that we respond when something doesn't go our way, they're watching that, and we can be talking to them. And I think that's more just like discipleship, informally passing the gospel, is bringing your kids along with you, saying, do as I do. This is how you walk the faith. This is how you live the Christian life. And that's something that we should be doing all the time, no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, I just lost my train of thought, as I often do. But yeah, it's woven in, in both. As moms, we need to do both types of things. And I think too, the informal stuff, I'll just be super honest. Like, I remember hearing some moms say like, oh, look at that. They're like, your kid comments about a rock and you're like, isn't that cool that God made rocks so big and stronger? I don't know, you know, like, and I remember feeling really like kind of awkward about that. Mm-hmm. And like, it's forced or it feels contrived. And honestly, like, again, as I practiced it more and talked with my son, it is really cool to see them be like my son will say, Mom, tell God to make it stop raining. You know, like, it's cool to see that, like, he's getting that. And at such a young age, like, as you weave those things in, as uncomfortable as it can feel, it, again, it does get easier. And when you start seeing some of those things, that truth flowing out of your kid's heart, it's really gratifying. I will say that.
And it is so encouraging.
Encouraging, yeah.
And I think too, we're both losing our trains of thoughts. Mom brain.
Yes.
As you become more fluent in the gospel yourself, you're able to communicate more naturally to your child. And I just have found that this whole area has made me a little uncomfortable and also challenged me to grow in my relationship with God, to be kind of practicing and growing my own understanding of what scripture says mm-hmm. and what the gospel says, because only as I have, you know, a fuller knowledge and a better understanding am I able to pour these things out. And that's why it's so, so important. Going back to our self-care talk, that we are filling ourselves up with the right things and being, you know, relying on the Lord and getting to know him better, because without that, we don't have much to share.
Yeah. Yeah. What goes in must come out type of the whole, exactly. I always hear people say trash in, trash out, but I suppose it's the opposite of that. So gospel in, gospel out. So,
all right. So let's get practical here, Laura.
All right. You want to share your stuff first?
Sure. Okay. So what we currently do, and again, we have...
Just to clarify, too, Em and I do a lot of the same things.
Yes,
so we decided to say, like, you touch on these, I'll touch on this type of thing.
Because we do, like you said, a big overlap. And I have a 3-year-old, 2 2-year-olds, and an infant right now. And so we do... I have this little box that is next to our kitchen table. I pull it out in the morning, and this box has a few materials in it that I don't have to prep for. They're there every day. And the first thing we do is we sing a little song with Bible truth. And this is like literally like a toddler song. And I got a lot of these ideas from Cedarmont Kids. Mm-hmm. And we'll have some of these resources that we're mentioning posted in our show notes. So no worries if you don't catch everything. And I just sing a little song. I mean, even Jesus Loves Me. That type of song.
Yep. That's what I'm talking about. My God is so big. Any of those easy ones.
But things that have biblical truth. And then we go through a new verse for the week. Our church actually goes through the Desiring God foundation verses. Mm-hmm. And so I'm talking like a small, short verse.
Genesis 1:1.
Yes, I just share it. And then I give a really, really brief, basic explanation. And we do that every day for a whole week. And then we go through some vocabulary words, and my whole point in that is just to give them a foundation of, like, understanding. So if I'm using words like forgive and pray and love, if they don't know what those things mean, that that's going to be difficult for them to understand mm-hmm. anything I'm saying. So trying to give them that foundation of understanding. And then we also go through one page of a 10-point gospel, and that's another resource available from Desiring God. And I literally just made it into like a really basic book, and every day we just do a different page and talk about the gospel, so that hopefully my goal is that by the time they're, let's say, 5 years old, they have that memorized. And so when we say the gospel, they know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And you do that over breakfast each morning, or what is that?
So I have found they must have food in their mouths and be contained in a chair. Otherwise, at the ages our kids are at, I definitely have tried to do it at other times of the day and was, okay, let's all sit down and listen. But that just doesn't, they go a million places. So breakfast works for our family. Yes.
And I think it's important to remember too, that I think both our kids, as we do things like this, all of our kids, they are talking in between it. They're like in la la land. They're throwing food, you know.
They're climbing onto the table. And this one, it's all.
It's chaos.
It seems like no one is listening. And some days it goes really well and we go for 10 minutes. And other days I do it for literally 2 minutes. But it's just the habit of pulling it out every single day or every other day or whatever. So.
Yep. So, I don't do actually everything Emily listed, but good aspirations for me, I suppose. But in addition or alongside that, another great thing to work on with kids is, catechisms.
Yes.
And they, at 2 years old, my son is a huge sponge. These little kids, mm-hmm. we all know how quickly they learn the ABCs or any song or whatever. And so, we use New City Catechisms. It's an app that you can download on your iPad, but really like I just worked on the first, I think 5 with my son. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of keep repeating those and keep repeating those. So it's not like I'm planning on having him mm-hmm. learn. I forget how many there are, but there are a lot.
There's a lot.
There are a lot. And I am not, at this point, it's just great to get a couple simple truths.
Yep.
Like, who made you? Why did God make you? You know, some of those mm-hmm. simple truths in his heart. And it's really cool, you know, when he mm-hmm. called his other aunt and he told her that he loved her and that God made her, he said, God made you to glorify him or something like that for her birthday. And it was just like, again, really cool. You see that fruit and it's just a catechism coming out, but it's really neat. So we do catechisms, we do scripture memory, some mm-hmm. of those short verses, the same Desiring God stuff that Emily was talking about, which we will link to on show notes. In addition, just playing Christian music in the background.
Yes. That's so important.
Yeah. I know that like one time Taylor Swift was like playing, you know, in the car and Eli comes out singing Shake It Off, and not that big of a deal, but it's amazing because he heard that song one time and was singing the chorus. And so some great songs or CDs that we like are Songs for Saplings, Rain for Roots, like Emily said, Cedarmont Kids. Mm-hmm. So playing those maybe during crib time or...
just playtime in the background.
Yeah. And they're not... Yeah. So Rain for Roots and Songs for Saplings, they won't like hurt your brain as a parent.
You know, a little softer. So Cedarmont Kids is a little bit more... Yeah. Not listen to this any longer.
It's truth. Just keep repeating that. But
the kids love it.
The kids love it. And so, yeah. Or just the Christian radio, whatever you have in your area. But those are some big things. And then also we read the Bible together as a family before bed. And we like the Jesus Storybook Bible and then the
Big Picture Storybook Bible.
We'll find a link to it. We will link to it. It's a great toddler Bible. It's probably really good for that 2-3-year-old age. It's a little shorter and bigger pictures. And so that is a great Bible too. We just read one story a night and we talk about it. And I remember too, when he was a little younger, we would even ad lib much of it, you know, because they don't even have that attention for three sentences.
Yeah.
So we would just talk, oh, look, there's Joseph and just kind of, you know, be casual about it. And just get that truth into them.
And I think the main thing is just finding what works for your family.
Totally.
And knowing that it doesn't have to look like what we said. It doesn't have to look like your friends. And I had to really let that go because actually bedtime at our house is lots of crying and screaming and things. And so we literally just pray for our kids before bed and we put them to bed. Like, we cannot do a story at our house. And that's okay. And I think I had to like kind of let that go and say it can look different for everyone.
Totally.
And the point is that you're just planting seeds. Over time, it's not like these big events in your children's lives that are going to change them or impact them. It's little things that you do every single day over a really, really long period of time. And so,
and start small. Like, start with, like, just starting to play music in the background.
Yeah, start small, small.
Yeah, don't feel like, oh, they're doing these 15 things. I need to do all of them. Like, again, this is years of buildup, and, like, we want to keep adding and we're subtracting depending on life circumstances or new babies in the family and things. But just start with, you know, one thing and then continue to build off of that. But don't feel overwhelmed. I know how easy it is to feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And we're not even going to talk about discipline today.
No.
That was something else we kind of talked back and forth about. Should we talk through that? But one, we just don't have time as we're already over a little bit. But also it's, you know, that's a whole nother nutshell to be discussed. Maybe that'll be a future show at some point. Oh, dear.
Oh, there's so many things we could talk about. I feel like
this
is just a huge, huge topic. But hopefully we just grazed to the surface today. And again, go check out show notes. We are going to pack as many resources in there as we possibly can.
Definitely.
Share this with a mom that you think might benefit from this, that maybe is even on the cusp of trying to figure out what you do here.
You guys talk together with each other and challenge each other to say, let's start family quiet times or scripture memory or whatever that may be.
And then also don't forget that you can find more information on our blogs, OaklandAvenueBlog.com, EmilyJensenWrites.com, or on Twitter or Facebook. So, and also subscribe and leave a review. Oh, there's so many things we're trying to
talk about. I know.
And next time we're going to try to cover another huge, huge topic, marriage and motherhood and the gospel and all of those things.
Again, so, grazing the surface.
Yes, grazing the surface of everything. We're just skimming over top. But thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll see you back next time.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Emily is talking very fast.
She's trying to get us done here.
Bye, guys.